Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming up on TMS, this is all the Vegas you're getting.
I could fight a moth for hours.
You're probably right, but still, F off.
They paved paradise and put up a Vegas sign.
We stopped for pee and pretzels.
No music in your car for 10 hours is a murder scene.
The flamingo is staying.
Elongated muskrat.
Vegas parental freedom.
No whacking doodles in my lift.
Blame Chuck and Mark.
I don't like bees in the pool.
F the Dritish with Amy.
I'm back from the Vegas bazaar. You don't know how lucky you are, boy.
A road trip with Wendy. And more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
What is a black hole? It is so deep. It's so hard to fully appreciate all of the physics that's going on. You can spend your life studying this.
Everything turned on a dime.
The Morning Stream. Come over here, Mr. Pokemon Man, and let me get a peek at you.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Thursday, May 18th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian DeBitt.
Hello. Welcome back.
Hello, Brian. Welcome back. Yes, indeed. Vegas, second Vegas trip of the year, which was really literally a week and a half after we already went. right? It's very different, though. I only have, it was so different. We spent most of the time with the kids, most of the time at the pool. We had a 4-year-old and an 8-month-old with us. So it was like, you know, very busy keeping them busy and all of that, and trying to give Taylor and Dylan kind of, you know, some time out where they can go off and do whatever they want to do.
Freedom.
Freedom. Yes. Some freedom, parental freedom. And it was really fun. We ended up staying at an awesome place that was kind of near the airport, but, you know, not that close to the strip. So, I don't know. It was kind of nice to be separate. Mm-hmm. But then we do these, you know, day trips to the strip and see all this stuff and everything. My only regrets about the entire thing. The only regrets I have is that I ran out of time to see Shoujo or James and Svet. I was going to try to have dinner with James and Svet. Didn't happen. I hate that. I really wanted that to happen. So next time I'm out there, I'm making that happen. But it just got like, it was just crazy. We always had we always had kids with us. So it was impossible for us to like control our schedule very much.
For sure. Yeah. You guys were on full-time kid duty letting, Taylor and Dylan have some,
which was fun. It was a really fun thing to hang out with those kids, to not feel any stress. There was nowhere I had to be. It was just like, let's get in that lazy river and let's float around that thing for a while.
I love a pool with a lazy river.
Yeah, this one had a nice one too. It was pretty good.
That's cool.
I will say this though. So, real quick here.
Yeah,
let's call this my most irritating story of the trip, because most of it was very pleasant, no issues, everything's great.
Sure.
But we're on the strip and we're walking. This is the first day too. We're there with the kids and we're waiting for, actually our timeshare is not ready with the room yet. So it's like 4 hours. We had to just do stuff on the strip for 4 hours. No big deal.
Sure. Kill a little time.
Yeah. And 4-year-olds love seeing giant replicas of the freaking Eiffel Tower and, you know, all that. It's fun.
Of course. Yeah.
So we're doing all that.
It looks so much like the real one.
Right.
Says.
Exactly. Yeah. Except for the weird homeless guy that's throwing needles at me as I walk by it. But anyway, which leads to this story pretty well. So we're walking down the strip. And by the way, this time of week and this time of year, it's pretty good. It's right before the playoffs for the Knights, which is going to get real gnarly in the next day or so. Yeah. It's in between a lot of things, a lot of cons and stuff. So relatively very small amounts of people everywhere. It's not packed anywhere that we're going, which is great. We're loving that, right? Just big.
Ideal.
Yeah, very ideal. It's nice. So, and we experienced that pretty much the whole time. We never had like a line or too many people. I don't even think we took an elevator that had more than just us in it. It was like, it was just so wow. easy. So anyway, we're walking down the street. We're just about the one they're tearing down for the baseball stadium.
The Tropicana.
No, it's not. It's the Flamingo. Flamingo's going down.
Oh, Flamingo. They're not tearing down the Flamingo.
I thought they were.
I thought it was the Tropicana down at the end of the strip by MGM Grand.
Oh, Mitsula told me it was the Flamingo.
In mid-strip they're tearing
yeah,
down? Maybe they are.
Whole
okay.
thing
they're,
out, and I, then they're going to put a...
I could have sworn I saw a news article about Tropicana, because that would make more sense with all that space down there. But
I agree, because it extends like a ways over there, right? There's a bunch of dead space.
Yeah, I mean, there's no hotels on that side of the street south of that, but maybe...
There we go.
Tropicana to be demolished for baseball stadium.
So it is Tropicana?
Yeah. Flamingo's like right in the middle of everything.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The Cromwell and all that stuff.
Okay, that makes more sense to me. Because I was looking at that thing. I must have misunderstood Chris. But anyway, when I saw it, we were walking in the middle of that. I'm going, they can't put a baseball stadium here. This is insane.
No.
It's already weird. Where everything is already at is already weird. And the F1 thing this fall, what the how the frick are you going to function in here?
Crazy. Like, you might be confusing because the two of the boulevards that bisect the strip are Tropicana and Flamingo.
Yeah, so that's probably why.
That's another reason you might be confused. It's
probably why. It makes sense, though, because that Tropicana, take it. It's ugly. It's dumb. Get rid of it.
It is. Yeah, it's unfortunate. They just never knew what to do with that, right? The theme is... hotel.
here's a big white featureless hotel. Enjoy.
It really is. There is zero draw. Like you walk down the strip and you're like, all right, well, we got MGM Grand. Oh, we've got Excalibur over there and New York. What's on that corner? I think just hotel.
I will give them this. They're one of the few hotels that give you free parking still if you want to just park there, which is what we did yesterday.
That's the way to do it. Yeah. I think that is the only one on this trip.
Yeah. There's one. Yeah. Let's see. We had two places. This and the fashion mall place. That has free parking as well. Yeah. But everything else is like $20 an hour. It's stupid. Anyway, we're walking down past the Flamingo, which is not leaving, everyone. Staying right there. And so we're walking past that. And this car, a convertible with a couple of 20-something girls in it.
Okay.
All it's like 10 o'clock in the morning. But they're all ready for the rest of their party day. Like they're just
sure.
all
are they
dolled
wearing
up.
Sashes that say bride and entourage or
none of that
bride just, squad or something like that.
It was more just like, I don't know. They just had these like tight mini dresses on. They just looked like they were going to the club. And I'm like, dude, it's 10 a.m. But whatever. That's
might
fine.
Have been
I don't
coming
have
any, home from the club at 10.
Yeah, that could be it. I have no judgment for them, but they sure had some for me. So here's what happens. Car goes past and one of the girls yells, "Quit bringing your kids to Vegas!" Like that. And I got a little Papa Bear kick in.
Oh, geez.
And I turned around. There's a fair number of people on the sidewalk with us. We're not packed, but there's a bunch of people walking. And I turned around and made some comment. It's in our Discord, but I can't remember what exact words were. It was basically like, quit bringing your sorry used ass or something like that to Vegas. I said something
oh,
loud.
God, really?
Yeah. And as soon as I said it, and then I went, and F off. I didn't even say the F word. I just said F off.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Guy, about three, four layers of people behind me, I hear him go, woo! It made me laugh so hard, dude.
Nice.
It made me laugh. I mean, it helped soften an otherwise annoying moment, but I was just annoyed with her. I'm like, I'm going to the M&M factory, you freaking...
Yeah, exactly. Like, you think this thing is made for adults to go to? The Coca-Cola place?
There's stuff for kids.
Well, I don't know, is there still a Sega arcade in the basement right there?
It's a manifolds. What's it called?
Oh.
It's a clothes thing.
Ross Dress for Less or something.
Marshalls,
yeah, right.
It made me sad. I walked past her with the kids like some old man telling stories, and I was like, when I was in my 20s, Sega had a big underground arcade here, and they couldn't believe it. They were so excited to hear that. I'm like, what happened? Why'd they change it, Dad?
I don't know. No one really knows.
No one was told what happened. Anyway, as a result,
and it's 10 a.m. I mean, you know, if it was midnight or 11 o'clock or something, and somebody said, "Hey, kids shouldn't be on the strip this late at night with people yelling cities in your mouth and handing out cards with nudie girls on them."
Yeah.
Then you can say, "Yeah, you're probably right, but still F off."
Yeah, but still F
10
off.
10 o'clock in the morning, and come on.
Yeah, either way, F off is what I was saying to her. Exactly. So F them and their stupid freaking takes. Anyway, it was really great. There was also a great shirtless guy at the Container Park. Again, a great place for kids. Container Park's very kid-friendly.
Yeah, lots of stuff. Oh, great toy store there. Again, if it's still there. Is it still there?
It is still there. Yeah, toy store is still there.
Cool.
They got candy stuff and donut stuff there, and they got a big area where kids make giant Lego blocks. And
a little climbing thing in the middle. Yeah, right.
Tons of kids stuff. Mm-hmm. So again, and that's downtown. That's still for kids. Oh my gosh, kids are in this. I can't believe there are kids in this world.
It's
crazy.
In Vegas.
I know.
What?
Insane. Anyway, we're down there, and the shirtless guy at Container Park, who looked like he was three sheets to the wind, kind of not all together. He would see any woman that walked by, including my daughter, including my wife, including every other lady that walked by. He went, "Men are not worthy for you. They're never going to be worthy for you."
Oh my God.
He just kept saying it. Just kept saying it. It was really weird. So that was cool. And he was not, I mean, he was a nice, crazy guy. That's what I like about some crazy people. Yeah. They're very nice.
For whatever reason, I'm hearing, they're all going to laugh at you.
They're all going to laugh at you. It's like, they're never going to be no man will be worthy of you, beautiful lady. That kind of thing.
Jeez.
And they could smell it.
Speak for yourself, buddy.
Yeah, speak for yourself, dude. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is Van has a name for Vegas. He calls it Vegas. He can't say
Vegas.
He can't
love
put
it.
A V. Just cannot do it. So the whole time, and there would be times we were like on the strip in Vegas where he would say, "When are we going to Vegas?" And I'm like, "No, buddy, this is Vegas. We're in
this
Vegas.
This is Vegas.
Yeah,
in the middle of Vegas."
He goes, "Vegas. Can we go home and do another Vegas?" I'm like, "This is literally Vegas. We're in. This is all the Vegas you're gonna get, dude."
Yeah,
he never could quite get it.
He was thinking Vegas was something other than walking down a street looking at giant fountains and.
Oh, and he hated the sound those fountains made. By the way,
really?
You know towards the end of the song where it starts going
like the big circular one kind of thing.
Hated that. It was covering his ears. Yeah, it really bugged him. Just a little sensitive to it, I guess.
Wow.
Anyway,
technically, I mean, you're on the strip, you were in paradise, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's a good point.
In Las Vegas, but you know,
nobody would believe me when I told them that trivia.
Really?
I go, "You guys, we're not in Vegas until we get to like right around the stratosphere. There's a line."
Yeah.
And then you're in the city of Las Vegas.
Then you're in the city of Las Vegas. Yeah.
But we're in this place called Paradise. They're like, "No, Dad. Of course it's Vegas. The whole strip is. It says Vegas. There's a sign out front says, I know that sign is also not in Vegas. Yeah. That sign is in Paradise."
That sign is incorrect, but no one wants to take a picture in front of a sign that says, "Welcome to Fabulous Paradise."
Yep. That was a real to the internet then kind of moment for me. I had to explain.
Of course. Of course. And then you took screenshots of the page and texted it to each of them.
Yeah, that's what I do. I got to make sure everybody absolutely knows the truth. I'm a truth teller, Brian. That's what
you
I
are.
Am.
You're a truth spreader.
That's right.
You are,
spread the truth like hot butter. All right. The other thing. And I already mentioned it. I just am sad I didn't get to hang out with any of our people down there.
Yeah. But. You know what? You did. This was not a let's do a meetup kind of trip.
No.
This was a, hey, let's give Taylor and Dylan some time to be adults and not be parents for a little bit. And
I thought in 4 days I would find a 2-hour slot. You know, I just thought I'd find something, but I didn't.
I mean, I'm even trying to figure out, like, we're going to be there in June, almost actually a month from now, I'll be flying back potentially. We'll see. I might be changing a couple dates.
Oh,
but,
all right.
Looking forward to that trip as to just like, here's a Vegas trip that's not a Viva TMS Vegas trip where it's more like, hit the pool for some just relax time, not have to think about, all right, do we have enough mic stands or, oh, where's that cable or is the projector thing going to work this time or whatever. It's like,
right.
Just a relaxed time. And I'm hoping, like you, hope I get to spend some time with Mitsuo and James and Svet and Shoujo and everybody we know out there, but they understand.
They're all fine. Like, I talked to James here and there on text, and I was like, okay, maybe tonight. He says, all right, just let us know we have jury duty. I wonder how that went. I got to check in to see how jury
duty. Oh, yeah, jury duty. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Which, you know, is probably as a – is he still an elected official? He's still on the council? No, he's off?
Okay. No, he's off.
Yeah. So I wonder if you're once a councilman – you feel like you can never figure out a way to get out of jury duty. You know what I mean? Like,
I would think, yeah, exactly. I mean, maybe it becomes an even bigger deal because you don't want to be the former city councilman that got out of jury duty.
Yeah, right? Because now you're in the tabloids or whatever they do.
Exactly, right, if there are tabloids in Boulder City.
Yeah, do they even do this anymore? I don't know.
Yeah, the Boulder City Examiner.
Did you do much lifting during TMS time, that sort of stuff?
I did a ton of lifting. People are probably pissed off that I didn't do any Marvel Snap streams because I said, Brian, and I said, yes.
Brian, I says.
Brian, I says. And I basically hit lift hard the last 3 days. I've done 19 hours of lift so far this week. Probably another hour today.
It's a lot.
And a lot tomorrow. Yeah. I need dough like anyone, Scott. I need dough like anyone. No, this is June is the month where I have to pay all the licenses. I have to pay CSAC twice a year, but I have to pay ASCAP BMI and one of my CSAC payments in June. Right, and so it's like, let's make a whole bunch of dough to pay for that.
All that music, all those covers, all that stuff, you guys, that don't come free.
Exactly. It ain't free.
Nope.
Surprisingly, again, with 18 hours of stuff, not really any good stories to tell. I met a lot of cool people, you know. I drove another exotic dancer to work. In another completely silent ride, just because you start off going, hey, how's your day going? Oh, good.
Yeah.
And if they don't say, how's yours going, then I take that as a sign. Okay. They want a silent ride, or, you know, just listen to music ride.
Sure.
Totally fine with that.
Sure.
But then you get the people who are like, oh, my day's going great. How about yours? Or, oh, well, my day could be better. I'm like, oh no, what's going on? I drove that woman yesterday. She was just hanging out with her partner and showing her pictures of her cat, who I guess she lost recently. They were just crying over pictures of her cat. And then a song came on from Laith Cole, I think.
Laith Cole?
L-E-I-T-H something Cole? Laith Cole is what's coming up in my memory. And she started singing along with it. I'm like, all right, this is good. This is brightening her mood. Excellent. And pulled up to her house just as the song ended. I said, wow, couldn't have timed that better. She's like, no, that was awesome.
That's great.
So, yeah.
That's great.
It's a little karaoke trip. But no weirdos.
No weirdos. I don't get it. Where were they? Were all in Vegas.
They were all in Vegas, apparently. Yeah.
Well, that's good, though. 19 hours.
No, I'm fine not having wackadoodles in my car. You know, if I have a fun story to tell from somebody who's fun and great, but if I have to tell a story about, oh, there was this dude in my car smelled like the ass end of a orangutan,
then nobody wants that.
Wants that. Exactly.
Well, good. Well, we had fun in Vegas. Brian had fun in Denver, and we're good. Yeah. Oh, and the just a couple of quick food things. There's if you're out near, like, you've got to stay off strip south over near the airport area. There's a couple of really great places to eat that we found, and one was the Broken Yoke. Great breakfast.
Oh yeah, yeah, really in the town center over there. The outdoor mall thing. That place is great. Tina and I have taken we've taken lifts down there to specifically not eat at Mandalay Bay because the food was better and cheaper there.
Yeah, that's the other thing. The price is so much better there.
Yeah.
We had another dirt dog while we were on the strip. There's another one there in the one of the food courts there. And the other place we ate was a Thai food place that was in the most hole in the ground freaking strip mall. But the food was so good.
Is it the Taste of Siam?
No, it was called D-E Thai. Like the letter D, the letter E, Thai. I don't know what it means. It's just a weird name. But a little tiny hole in the wall, amazing Thai food. So
cool.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So if you're out there and you're looking for some, and they weren't, and that's another thing, is they were not very expensive compared to the rest of all of Vegas.
Yeah. You go to a Thai place in Resorts World, for example, you're going to be paying through the nose for Thai food. And probably not nearly as good as some little family-owned hole in the wall in a badass strip mall or whatever.
There was a point in all of this where Dylan got a slice of pizza and a breadstick at a Sparrow in the food court, mm-hmm. and he's like, "That was $18." Like,
oh my god!
I'm like, wow. I know, dude. There you go. Welcome to Vegas. It was long gone. Jeez. Are the $3 buffets and everything's cheap because they want your gambling money. They don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Nope. Not anymore.
Not a thing. But anyway, it was a great trip. Had a good time. Beautiful cool. drive up and down. Went through a crazy rainstorm, but it was cool.
Did you stop in St. George at the good Taco Bell?
we did stop in St. George, but did not do the Taco Bell. We went to this little cafe thing that my wife likes a lot, so we did that instead. But I thought about it. We almost did. And then what else? We stopped at a place in Scipio, Utah.
Scipio.
Just to pee and get some pretzels. And man, what a weird place that was. There's a whole morning show on just talking about that place. It's like a gas station combined with a hotel. So it had like six rooms on the side that you could rent and have it be like a motel on the side of this thing. The front of it's all gas station and convenience store. Total gross mess in there. The cheese from the nacho machine that all these places have was all over the table and floor.
Oh god.
It was really weird. It was like being in a Blood Simple again or something. It's like a weird Coen Brothers movie. It's very odd.
Oh god.
I kind of want to make it a goal to stay there one night, just once.
Really?
Seems antithetical to me and what grossed me out the most.
It really does. Yeah.
I don't know why I'm drawn to it. I gotta try it. Anyway, that's it and all she wrote. Let's get Amy in here.
Cool. Yeah.
I'm sure there's other things that will come up because I saw a lot of weird stuff, you know. We had a moth that wouldn't leave us alone. That's a whole other story. Like we fought a moth for like 4 hours. That's a weird thing.
Really?
Yeah, okay. it was very odd.
My cat can dispatch one of those in about 2 minutes.
We really needed your cat.
Should have sent her over there.
Here's this.
One of the things that I enjoy also is reading.
Join us now, won't you, in a little reading time with, I was going to call her Miss Amy because that sounds like somebody who would pull kids aside to have them read or whatever.
Yeah, like she's got her own kids TV show where she reads books.
Yeah, that's what I was, she hung up. Why?
Wow, because Miss Amy really pissed her
that
off.
That really got
really
to her. Yeah.
Does not like being told.
Very bothersome. Well, maybe she's having
kids
issues.
TV show. Shame on you, Brian. Click.
Maybe she's got some sort of outage. I don't know. Let me pause this while we find out here. Hold on one second.
In chat, she says, dang it.
Yeah.
Help me.
Oh, hey. There you are. Hi. Hello.
I don't know what happened there. I just restarted Discord and everything worked. I swear I set all this up as per usual this morning, but yeah.
The goal is you're supposed to blame
state guidelines and
you're supposed to blame Chuck. That's my understanding.
Chuck!
The way this is supposed to work is Chuck is to blame because, you know, we learned this from Mark and Nicole. Anyway, it's good to have you here. How was your week since we last? I guess we just talked to you a week ago, now that I think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not really much difference for me other than, you know, I didn't have you guys to listen to, which is always sad. And I kept looking for a stream from Brian I was like honing my decks, like, okay, maybe today.
Oh, then I'm glad I didn't
Well, you'll be happy to know what little time I had to myself during the trip. I was reading books the whole time.
Oh, look at you.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't.
Were you reading?
So I've been reading Scott Sigler's Infected series. I started the first book. I guess there's three of them. I didn't even know that when I started it. But it's this kind of dystopic zombie alien thing. And I love those. So I'd love a good genre pick. And that's what I'm reading. And it's very good so far. So I would highly recommend it. I'm reading it on Kindle currently with my eyeballs because audiobooks make my mind stray. I cannot stay focused. So I have to read. Anyway, I'm enjoying it. It's very good. If you like that kind of stuff, I think it's a little older now. Maybe, I don't know, maybe 2011 or 13 or something like that. But it's very, very, very good. If you like, you know, dystopic novelizations of life, if there was a zombie virus, then you're in. You're all in there. And it's great.
Very cool.
Yeah. So,
I've been
reading
the Guardians of the Galaxy Brian Bendis series.
Oh, very nice.
Picked up, I went looking for some Scotty Young, like one of his graphic novels, the Young Marvel or Young X-Men Ventures or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. Didn't find it, but I found this Guardians of the Galaxy trade paperback that's got the Angela introduction, Todd McFarlane's movement of Angela into the Marvel universe from his universe.
I didn't know they did that via the Guardians of the Galaxy.
At least this one was introducing Angela. I don't know if it was like a reintroduction, because I could have sworn that it happened way before. Well, this was
because Marvel owns it now, right? They have the rights to her.
They own Angela now,
which used to be a Spawn character,
right? That's, and I could have so sworn weird. That she like it. She became Marvel back in the 90s or early 2000s. But in any case, this is a really good story about Angela and the Guardians.
Funny enough, that's funny because prior to me leaving and a little bit while I was gone, I've been replaying that Guardians game.
Oh, yeah.
Just with all the Guardians hype going on, I thought, you know what? I never finished that. Let's get back to that. That game's great,
yeah.
Dude. That game's
it so is. Good. It's great. Yeah.
I haven't played it. Do you think that Scotty Young like does young things? Like, do you think he does that on purpose? Like, just to lean into his last name?
Into his last name.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, I'll bet you he just started doing that and is like, oh, funny. He does these baby versions of characters and his last name is Young.
I'll
bet it wasn't that, you know, I don't know, maybe
happy happenstance is all that is, probably.
I would that'd be think. Like right. Someone with the last name Johnson making a lot of penis jokes. That's I just right. don't know if that
that's right. So all right, well, let's get to what you brought. You brought some sort of reading material with you. Yeah,
I did bring some reading material. This book is another of the Fantastic Strangelings book club gets. So we can go ahead and play the clip.
Here comes your clip.
I was in Sackville Street that day to interview for a job. People often ask how one gets a job at a bookshop like Sutherland's. In a particularly dark moment, when I drifted into some far corner of the internet on my search, I saw an advertisement for a bookshop seeking an apprentice. It wasn't a particularly good advertisement. The pay was Victorian, the expected duties nebulous, and the whole thing had an air of desperation about it. More comfortingly, however, no prior experience was necessary, and within a day I'd received a call asking me to attend an interview with the manager. On the day of the interview, I was early. Striding confidently out the double door, I gave it a hearty push, the kind of push someone might make who you would hire on the spot. It didn't move, instead rattling about noisily. I yanked it. By this point, I could see shadowy figures inside staring icily at my abortive entry attempts, but I persevered. Pushing the right-hand door, I stumbled inside, mumbling a half-hearted apology, which was swallowed up by the diorama stretching out before me. It's the smell that hits you first. There's something wistful about old books when they're gathered in one place. They have a faintly unsatisfied smell, as if they're all distantly aware that they've missed their chance to be a worldwide smash hit.
I love that. That's awesome so far. What am I hearing here? This sounds great.
Yeah. So this book is called Once Upon a Tome, The Misadventures of a Rare Bookseller by Oliver Darkshire. And it is nonfiction. It is his memoir about obtaining and eventually keeping and training to be a bookseller at this rare bookshop called Sutherland's. And it's as funny as that bit is. It is, you know, it's very, and the narrator is also him. So again, it's got it's got the benefit of him just sounding like he's telling you a story. And it's great. It's full of that sort of raw, wry, drittish. Yes.
Drittish.
Words. Yeah. Words are good.
Yeah. Drits. You never know what the drits are going to say. Well, that's my favorite kind of British humor, by the way, is the dry British humor is my preference. For sure. So that's good.
Is there a more British sounding name than Oliver Darkshire? By the way,
gosh, oh, no. I can't. If there is, I can't think of one. Yeah. I mean,
Darkshire. Good Lord, he's like
Oliver Darkshire.
He's a raid. He sounds like a raid, like a dungeon.
Is there a Darkshire Tavern, or am I thinking of something else?
It sounds familiar,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
There should be.
Gonna
be
my raid team in Darkshire Tavern.
Yeah.
Write the campaign right now.
Wow. Oh, you know what? There is Darkshire. Darkshire in, previously called the Grand Hamlet, once quaint little woodland village in Duskwood, but has been fallen in literal dark times, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Okay, good. So I'm not crazy. I don't remember Darkshire.
That's great, though. That's great. I'm looking at the map. I remember questing in Darkshire. It's fantastic. Nicely done. Well, this sounds like a lot of fun. And I don't know. Do you feel like, British? Why is everything British better sometimes when it comes to like books and reading and stuff like that? What's the deal with that? Is it just us?
No, I think people in... I particularly British people who sit down to put pen to paper are very, they can feel the poetry of certain words. And, you know, like that would have been a very easy scene for him to describe,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Like, oh, I freaking tried to open the wrong door and rattled it like an idiot. And then I stumbled through when the next one opened with no problem, right? Like that's how an American would describe that scene, and it still kind of paints the scene for you. But just the way he crafts the phrasing and, you know, his prose is, it's just lovely. And that's what a lot of it is like. And the entire book is, like I say, it's a memoir, and it's sort of a collection of his anecdotes of becoming a rare bookseller. And as you could hear in that clip, he did not set out to do so. He just needed a way to pay his bills. And hilarity ensues, right? Like this kid comes in. He's got no experience. He has no idea. He's just like, yep, I saw the advert. Hello. And there's this. It's exactly what you would picture an old rare bookshop. At least in my mind, it's exactly what I would picture because I did picture it when I read it.
Sure.
Yeah. But it's just filled with stacks and stacks of dusty tomes. And he tells all these little great anecdotes about, at first they sat him at this desk at the very front of the shop, and it was a desk that they had acquired, and it was like Victorian. And it was actually a writing desk made for young ladies. And so it was this teeny little desk. Wow. And he's just, you know, I'm picturing like this awkward, gangly 20-something hunched over this teeny little minuscule desk and having to smile and help would-be patrons as they come through the door. And as he progresses in his training and whatnot, he gets to go out into the field and, you know, say, oh, this person says they have a rare copy of such and such. Go visit their estate. And he has to tramp through brambles and bushes and whatnot to even get there. I mean, it reads like, almost not an episode of Fawlty Towers, but it's kind of there. It's not as slapsticky as that, but it's got that same flavor to it.
There's an intro the foreword in the book. It says a note from the author's supervisor. This is the person that maybe you worked for at the time. Says that bookstore has been around since 1761.
Oh, wow.
Good Lord. Yeah. It's old. That's really old. You know, you think of things that are old. That's freaking old. That's an old bookstore.
1761 is pretty damn old. Yeah.
Yeah. Of all the aged things, that feels pretty aged to me.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's one of the things when I traveled over there is that some of just the houses that people actually live in, not historic buildings, but just the houses are older than our entire country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
You know, I mean,
think, you know, there's a very important date coming up when that store was made about 4 years from 5 years from then, it would be 1776. And then we would have some serious business happening over in America. But this is prior to that.
Yeah.
Right?
We didn't even exist in any meaningful way. Well, unless you were a native here and everyone came in and took your shit. But prior, you know, post that, America was nothing yet. It was amazing. And there's still, and it's still there. That's still a bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Nothing lasts that long over here. You know, then freaking borders?
Well, not yet.
They keep knocking things down to turn into condos.
Do you think they'll ever be like 300 years from now? Someone will go, I can't believe Barnes and Noble is still here. No one's going to do that.
No, but there might be like in, you know, in Virginia, there might be a cafe that was open or something that was open when the country was founded, still open or
something. That's true. There'll be something somewhere. Yeah. You're right.
Jamestown or
They've got Colonial Williamsburg is still there. And some of the original structures are like the governor's mansion, things like that are still the original structures.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, they've been made into historical monuments. So
yeah.
Yeah, I doubt that anything that's just normal, everyday passerby kind of buildings will last all that long over here. Just because, you know, we like to pave paradise to put up a Vegas sign.
Yep.
Thanks, Joni Mitchell.
Yeah, we appreciate that. What's that?
It's covered by Adam Duritz and Michelle Branch.
King Lot. Wait, is the parking lot one? Is that the right song?
Yeah.
And the Counting Crows also, right?
Well, Adam Duritz from the Counting Crows.
Yeah, I didn't know. Sure. I didn't know the Counting Crows song was a cover. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Joni Mitchell.
Is every song ever made a cover? I feel like there's so many now. It's crazy to me.
As a matter of fact, yes.
Scott, all right. There's the answer. It is called Once Upon a Tome, The Misadventures of a Rare Bookseller, and it is only $9.66 on Kindle. Which is like $27 off, or no, $17 off the normal price of $27, and is available there, or of course, audio version of it as well. Go check it out; it sounds fantastic.
It's quite it's quite short, and the chapters are really short, so it's the kind of book you can just kind of pick up, read a little bit, and put back down, and you won't be lost or anything. It doesn't really have so much of a through plot as it does just a collection of. Hey, this crazy thing happened to me while I, you know, at work. So
seems like perfect fodder for an eventual BBC 8-episode series, you know?
Right? Like, yeah, I pictured the same thing. I'm like that, especially just that opening scene. Mm-hmm. I can just picture him stumbling through and some awkward, foppish British guy. Oh, sorry about that.
You know? And the music. So. I can hear the music. I'm telling you, it's like made for this. I don't know why it doesn't exist in that form already, but. Do check it out. Available now and up on quicktms.li. So the link is there right there for you if you want to just click it and go. Amy, it's always good having you here. Oh, and you won't be here next week. You got a graduation. Congrats on that. Your son's graduating.
That is true. Thank you. Yes, my son is graduating from high school next week. So I will not be here. I will be sitting in a giant arena with lots of, you know, sweaty teenagers graduating and all of their 10 relatives apiece.
Yep.
Which is kind of weird, but
it is weird. Like, okay. We do the same thing here, and I hate it. I could not. If there was one thing about child raising children that annoyed me the most, it was their high school graduations for all three of them. Drove me crazy. All of them were a mess. All of them were too many people. All of them were like long and exhausting. Mm-hmm. I hate that whole thing. And every one of my kids after went, oh, that was kind of lame. We probably could have just not gone to that. Like,
They need to do it, like make it so that you show up. You don't have to sit through the whole, you know, the salutatorian, valedictorian speeches and stuff. You show up for the 10 minutes that, you know, 5 minutes before, 5 minutes after your name or the kid's name, or not even 5 minutes after. Why stay after, right? 5 minutes before your kid's name. Oh, that will be at exactly 9:17. Great. We're going to show up at 9:12, sit down. Yay.
Yeah.
Pick them up and go.
Yeah. Like have a reserve. Exactly. A reserve time,
throw
Ryan.
Throw your hat and then the go. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
100%. I vote for your plan and send it to the
Senate. I'm not going to let my kid listen to this episode because he's mad at me that I'm making him go. And I'm like, dude, it's a milestone. Come on, just humor me. I also made him go to the, you know, like he's an honors graduate. So he had to go to they had an honors night thing. And that was probably much more what he would be enjoyable to go see because you kind of get to go and sit there and be proud of your kid, but they only let two people go. And so now I'm like, okay, we've got, you know, my mom and his his dad's mom and, you know, Chuck and freaking everybody else in the family that wants to see him in his cap and gown. So let's all go and take the pictures.
Take some hot, sweaty, freaking Georgia photos after out in the sun.
Oh, my God. It's going to be hot as balls in there. Jesus Christ.
Yep. You got some fun ahead of you. We'll enjoy that. And we'll miss you, but we'll see you the following Thursday. Yeah. And we wish you nothing but the best. And congrats on the graduation. It's awesome.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye. You too. Bye. Bye.
Okay, there's
all up now. Yay. You know, it's funny. I said Michelle Branch. Vanessa Carlton was the female vocalist on that. And I always thought it was Vanessa Carlton featuring Adam Duritz, but it is the Counting Crows featuring Vanessa Carlton.
Oh.
And was voted one of the worst songs, actually the worst song of the year 2000.
Really?
By a couple different sources.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's that bad. It just got overplayed a lot.
It's a little sanitized compared. I mean, it just doesn't feel like it's as protesty. It feels like, oh, isn't that nice? They put up parking lots and they made a nice tree museum and stuff, as opposed to the what was supposed to be the biting sarcasm of the Joni Mitchell original.
It's like that Keds song, better run, something.
Oh, yeah.
It's Boston like about people, a mass shooter kid. Yeah. But it's exactly. But they make it sound like a nice romp through the spring park or whatever. It's weird.
Exactly. Yeah, Bobby Frankenberger puts it best. It's like the least Counting Crows song ever. I am a huge Counting Crows fan. I've seen them twice. And, easily one of my least favorite things Counting Crows has ever done. It's so mamby-pamby. And even as a cover fan, it's like,
Yeah. It's one crow that shouldn't have counted, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's count one less crow.
Yeah.
If we can have that one. Play Omaha again, or play Rain King again, or
any of them.
One of those, and skip the cover of Big Yellow Taxi.
Nice. Well, good deal, everyone. Oh, you know what? We got time for one news story.
Let's do one news story.
Let's do it.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody in the news this morning. Good morning.
It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by
Core tonight at 5 p.m. Mountain Time. Scott, what is on tap for Core tonight?
Well, it turns out a bunch of stuff dropped this week, including not exclusive to, but the of course, the aftermath of a very, very popular, now rated highest reviewed video game of all time. Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, or Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. So you think, oh, that's enough for a whole topic. And you're right, it would be normally. Sure. But we also got some weird mixed Blizzard news. For example, we got BlizzCon got announced.
Oh, really?
Don't know if I'm interested yet. Still waiting to kind of fill it out, but we'll see. But anyway, BlizzCon happened in November. And
what would make me interested in BlizzCon? What makes me interested in BlizzCon is less about BlizzCon, and it's more going out there with Tristan and doing all this stuff that Tristan and I do when we go out to BlizzCon. Yeah. Seeing everybody doing the amusement park stuff, blah, blah, blah.
That's the whole thing.
Con, sure, whatever.
Well, because one of the things, like Overwatch 2 dropping their PvE plans, will make a lot of congoers not happy. So that also happened this week, and people are pissed because the entire reason they were sold on the idea of Overwatch 2 was player versus environment content, and they canceled it now. So
me included.
Yeah,
oh, that sucks.
It does suck. So there's a lot of stuff around that we're going to talk about. It'll be a big full show, and if you are interested at all in the world of video games, you need to check out Core. Check it out, frogpants.com/core, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cool.
All right, let's do this story here. Where in the hell did it go? Here it is. Here's your first story, or your only story of the day.
Okay. All right.
A 14-year-old arrested for stealing a Nashville school bus. And they led police on a chase all along the I-40, which is like their big, long the freeway thing.
Highway, yeah.
Teenage boy facing numerous charges after allegedly stealing this bus from Kipp Nashville Schools during a reckless drive through West Nashville and leading police on a pursuit along the Interstate 40 Saturday afternoon. This is actually a week ago now. According to the Metro Police Department, the 14-year-old took the bus from KIPP, or K-I-P-P, College Prep on Murfreesboro Pike on Saturday, May 6th. It's a weird name.
Yeah, just short for Turnpike. Yeah,
this was just before 4 p.m., so school was out. He was living in Antioch at the time in state custody. He hit the diesel fuel pump at Casey's Market in Centennial Boulevard. So basically just on the run, kept filling up the thing with gas. After that, they said the 14-year-old drove into another place. He hit a car in the process.
Oh, jeez.
They followed the bus onto the interstate where it traveled at speeds between 60 and 65, which may not sound much, but for a bus, that's fast as hell. That's really too
fast.
That
is extremely fast, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with something that does not navigator turn, you know, super well.
Yep. It's gnarly. They also deployed a spike strip. I love these. I love a good spike strip.
Yes, yeah.
The teen driver allegedly saw the strip, so he slowed the bus and attempted to turn around in the middle of I-40 West. At that point, authorities
said... Not a
great
turning radius, believe it or not, with a bus.
No, not really a turn-on-a-dime kind of vehicle.
No. You know? Jeez.
So at that point, authorities said they ran up to the bus, broke the glass in the door, used a taser on the boy.
Taser on the boy.
Yeah, tase that boy.
That's right. Because he was trying to operate the bus and arrested him without further incident. The 14-year-old was booked in a juvenile court for vehicle theft, aggravated assault, evading arrest, reckless driving, driving without a license, and so on. You're going to have a real fun couple years there, buddy, until you're 18. So enjoy.
It's too bad he didn't. You know, it's Nashville. He could have at least picked up a couple bridesmaids parties and drove them around in the bus while he had it.
What was he thinking? That's missed the most opportunity.
Popular place for those.
Yeah, I agree. Funny thing, this reminds me what's going on here right now. While we were away, some breaking news in my city of South Jordan, Utah.
Oh, really? Okay.
There's some kid running around here. Maybe he's 14. I don't know. Blow darting people's pets.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Now, he's not killing them, just hurting them.
Yeah. If he hits, you know, the wrong part of it, he probably could.
Yeah.
Kill them.
But here's what he's done. So not only is he doing it to people's pets, if they're out straying, he's doing them, but he's also gotten a couple of people that were, while they were walking their dog or cat, got hit.
Mm.
And they still don't know where it came from. They can't figure out where he is.
Oh, little shit.
Little shit is right. And then he's doing it in people's yards where he can see stuff. So we've been really careful with the animals and stuff about, you know, trying to make sure they're not exposed or whatever. Then he got some ducks and geese over at the lake.
Mm-hmm.
That's a felony.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's screwed.
Protected. Yeah, exactly. I'm not always a fan of like, oh, well, whatever the crime is, the punishment should be the same thing. In this case, totally all for it. I think line up a bunch of people, a little blow dart firing squad on this little kid.
Yeah.
Protect his face. It's fine. Pull a little shield in front of his face.
We don't want him to die. Okay.
Yeah. No, no.
He can have ice cream after or whatever, but we're going to shoot him with darts. I agree.
Exactly. Or just the threat of shooting with darts. You know, don't really do it. But it line all the people up and then, all right, now you're going to jail. Just kidding. You're going to jail, but you pissed your pants, didn't you, kid? Yeah, go to jail.
Yeah, you shit yourself, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's a stupid thing. More on that as we learn more. We're going to take a break. When we come back, my sister Wendy will be back. Yes, that's right. 1 week later, Yay! She's got more advice. We got an email. That all of us got. It's a great email, yep. And Wendy has ideas, so we're going to talk about all that coming up here shortly. Before that, though, a musical selection from Brian's vast, expensive library of music. Brian, what do you have?
That's right. Brand new song. So, you know, this didn't come from the vast thing. Came from today.
Oh.
Got released by the syndicate, I think this morning or yesterday morning. This is a brand new. Listen, this is your summer jam right here. I like a good summer jam, so get ready for this. It's a song called It's Always Warm in San Araya. I don't know where San Araya is, but it sounds nice.
Sounds lovely.
Tropical.
Yeah.
His brand new album, debut album, is called Sunshine State of a Happy Camper, and it comes out June 23rd via MNRK Music Group. This is, I don't know, this is a really cool, little bit of a funk vibe to it. I dig it. It is Cody Lawless is the artist, formerly performed under the name Known, Known. Mm-hmm. And then too many Pokemon people were trying to catch him. Now he just goes by Cody Lawless. His debut album again comes out June 23rd. Here is It's Always Warm in San Araya.
These words to follow my lips. sounds like a couple 13-year-old boys with very deep voices.
Eat recycled food for a happier, healthier life.
This is The Morning Stream with Scott Johnson and Brian Ibbett. How about a booby?
And we've returned. Tell me who that was one more time, that band.
Yeah, Cody Lawless, spelled just like you would think it would be spelled. Cody Lawless, brand new song. It's Always Warm in Sanurai, coming from his debut album, which comes out next month, called Sunshine State of a Happy Camper.
Nice. That all sounds great to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There are way worse things to listen to.
Like you said, good old summer jam. Just get you in the mood for a nice upcoming summer.
You guys should hear the song Brian sent me. Good Lord. That was crazy.
Oh, isn't that great?
That was amazing.
I love the fact that the original title was Elongated Muskrat.
Yeah.
And it's it's going to be my new phrase for that one person. Elongated Muskrat.
Ah, I see what you've done there.
Yeah.
Yep, I
elongated
like it.
Elongated Muskrat.
Well, speaking of things that live in Minnesota, I don't know what that is. No transition.
Wendy.
I mean, random.
Not a chance.
Zero follow.
I mean, muskrats. Zero connected.
Yeah,
there
muskrats.
There might be.
Sure. There might be. Sure. What do you got? You guys deal with the...
I got voles.
Voles, okay.
Oh, voles, yeah.
All right.
And they're just cute mice with a slightly different face. I thought they were moles. I thought everyone was saying moles this whole time.
Yeah.
They're just baby ones.
I did too. The first time I heard vole, I thought, well, why would you come up with an animal name that is the same as another animal that lives underground and just changed the first letter? That's dumb. That it's got to be a mole.
Yeah. Voles are, voles, we have a lot of voles here too. Do you guys get, how are you on the spider front in Minnesota? How's that treating you?
They've taken Hill 125, but we're hoping.
I'm telling you, I have never experienced so many spiders as I did in Utah. That was always, it's like spider heaven.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
You want to know what's worse? Freaking Nevada. We saw so many spiders this weekend. And the greatest thing happened that just about caused a scene that would have made the nightly news. We're at this Thai place and a cricket got on Kim's leg. She didn't know it was a cricket. She thought it was a spider. And Kim and spiders do not get along. So she completely lost it and just started like flailing and kicking and moving around. I'm like, we're all going to die if that's a real spider. We're all dead. But then I got under there and looked. I'm like, no, honey, that's just a cricket. And she was fine after that. But boy, if that had been a spider. But we saw all kinds of weird bugs like that. That's just that's the West. You know, that's what we have.
Well, it's the dry. They don't have trees to hide in. They're just in your
face. Just out there. Yeah. They're making it happen. There's always dead bees in the pool. That's the worst. Anyway.
I always live fairly north of everyone, and things don't get as big there in the north because it freezes in the winter. It doesn't have all year to grow.
Like when you were in, where were you?
Vermont.
Vermont, geez. When you were in Vermont, all you got is what? Like, a couple of mosquitoes in the summer and that's it. Everything else is frozen or whatever.
Black biting flies there. That was a thing.
Those are
good.
You don't want those. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
That's why
every place has its thorns.
That's why
you just have spiders and Kim hates them. So that's funny.
That is funny. She can't stand them. She grew up in Mississippi where bugs are bigger than dogs, but for some reason, spiders are really her problem. Anyway, it's good to have you here. And it's, of course, my sister, Wendy. She does. She's an actual therapist, but she comes on here on Thursdays and helps all of us schlubs out with our problems once a week. And today's no different.
I think every time. It's time for the schlub helping.
Yeah, the schlub helping. You guys ready to be have your schlub helped? Well, good news. We got an email from somebody we just thought was delightful. And also, Wendy thought it'd be a good one to cover. So we're going to do it. This is from Natalie. And here's how it goes. Hi, guys. If you have any, I would love your input/thoughts/suggestions on this. If you had in capital letters, an 8 to 10 hour road trip with your mom, how would you survive it? Now, there's more stuff here that matter. The trip is 4 to 5 hours to the destination. So it's about like going to, I don't know where it's going. It's like going to Vegas.
Yeah, not quite to Vegas, but yeah.
Yeah, a little shy of that. Visit and stay the night with more family and then drive 4 to 5 hours back the next day. So 5 hours in, one day, 5 hours back. That sounds like a nightmare all on its own.
Already,
without the mother.
Yes. Yeah. One day and then turn around and come back. No.
It's not enough.
It's already stressful. Yeah.
It's not enough. Yeah. Anyway, then she says this. Some conditions apply. Four people total. Your spouses and your mom and your dad / stepdad. Number two, only have standard radio to listen to. So I guess FM or whatever.
Yeah. Nope.
AM. Just AM.
Because chances are, 4 to 5 hours, you're going to be going through some areas where you don't have a radio station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like Scipio. Car is a crossover SUV. I don't know what that is. Does anyone
trying
know?
To give us the space ratio, like how much space that it crossover is, just kind of like a smaller SUV.
Small, yeah, the like small little ones, like the Kia.
Like if this was a Miata,
Kia Soul, yeah, yes, right. Kia Soul is a crossover.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. They're popular now.
So there's some leg room. They'll be fine physically, I think, is what that's about.
Yeah. Okay. Then it says, "Mom is religious. She's 70 plus in age and believes we are living in the end times."
Oh no, sure.
And then finally, well, second to finally, mom gets car sick. Help me, Jesus. Sorry. Mom gets car sick, so she can't read or take her eyes off the road. She's like British TV dramas and mysteries. Or she likes British TV dramas and mysteries.
You know, just like the British TV dramas. It was
a little bit weird. The Gilmore Girls and other standard wholesome stuff that's rated G or PG. So no podcasts that contain political, adult, or worldly sensitive material she would find issue with. Or be confused by half of the TMS content to give you a baseline. That is a go with the flow type personality and not easily offended. Wish us luck. I am open to ideas. LOL. Love the show, though, Natalie. Alan and the Cats. Alan and the Cats was a great band in the 90s. I really enjoyed their work. Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of they struck out on their own, though? Not
didn't as good.
Do as well.
Not as good. Yeah. The Cats by themselves. What a waste.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. So this is interesting.
Are the Cats going?
We have all been on this. We've all been on this road to Abilene before, haven't we?
Sure.
That's what it feels like.
Nobody wants to go on. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody wants to go on this, including the people that want to go. They don't really want to go. Right, at least it feels that way to me. So, Wendy, what do you tell people like this? Because a lot of dynamic, a lot of family business going on in one 5-hour compressed ride, you know?
Listen, I've been on so many road trips in my life, and the key is a little planning. So this email is a great way to start this process. A little pre-planning, a little preemptive work will go a long way. Yeah. So if you just think you can get in this car and drive this and have like, you know, your cheese in a can spray and meat bins, it's not enough. You have
corn nuts.
To have
more. Don't forget the corn nuts. Yeah.
Oh my
and really
gosh.
Strong smelling beef jerky at any given moment you open up. Okay. You have to plan. And it sounds like I really appreciate all the conditions. That's really helpful. Okay. Yeah. So let's just take a couple of, you know, the radio situation. How can we manage the, in essence, no radio. That's in essence, because any music you're going to listen to on a radio is full of, it's going to annoy the crap out of everyone. Oh, I cannot even imagine doing this. Okay. So how can, let's brainstorm together. How can you preempt the radio problem? What can you plan for or do differently?
Well, I mean, you could swing by a Best Buy and pick up one of those, plug it in, FM, broadcast your iPhone through a 1-8, which is exactly what I would do. Worth it.
Yes.
10 hours.
Worth it.
If I throw this thing away and never use it again afterwards, fine.
Worth it.
Yeah. Yes. And then you can really you totally can control your playlist that way and give mom what she wants without her being offended, really. And also meet her in the middle on stuff. Yeah. Brian's right. That's worth every penny of the $15 or whatever you're going to pay for it.
Right. Whatever it costs. Yeah.
Yes. And here's the thing. There's another preemptive. I want you to think about this as preemptive delight. I know no one's thinking, oh, this will be delightful, but we're going to preemptively create delight on this road trip. Okay.
All right.
So think about a podcast that is rated G that's perfect for 70 plus, world is ending. Like what would bring her delight? She can't look around. She can't read. She loves British TV. We know a few things about her. What is something she would like?
Oh my gosh. I mean, all I can think
could
of is like,
do This American Life and just make sure it's nothing that is too world endy or political inclination.
I mean, I think
you'd have to pick
episodes. Yeah. You'd have to find the episode you want.
Yeah.
Like, I'm telling you, there are some British podcasts that would be wonderful, right?
That's a great
idea.
Yeah.
Sciencey or just like kid friendly. My kids love. I'm trying to think of what the name of it is, but it's basically like a news quiz show that goes through some history thing, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's great. And they love it. It's done in a British accent. It's hilarious. So, like, find a kid podcast. Sometimes they're way better than adult podcasts. Like, I'm telling you. So find a kid-friendly history, British-based something podcast, which will just bring delight. Listen to it first, though, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, check it out. Make sure.
So get a couple of those under your belt and buy that thing Brian's talking about. Like, do not leave this to...
No, don't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't 1980. You people can't go this long. Without listening to something. It's not safe.
Yeah. Or you and I were doing that in a motorhome, it was Muskrat Love on repeat on the
Captain and Tennille,
sure. Baby. Yeah.
And it was
the Neil Sedaka original.
Oh my gosh, a cover again. But it was like that was on that whole 8-track, because it was an 8-track, was on repeat. And so it was just over and over and over. And you're bringing up the Wheat Thins with the spray cheese, the squirt cheese or whatever. Holy crap, that brought me back. That is so mom brought a box of those and three cans of that to every freaking road trip we ever did as kids.
And you know, have you even looked at the ingredients? I don't know what's in that, but I'm telling you, I do not go on a road trip without it. It is a staple.
It's
my kids will
not
touch
cheese.
It.
It's definitely not cheese. I don't know what it is, but it ain't real cheese.
It's awesome. And with a Wheat Thin, there is nothing better. Anyway, okay. So again, the goal here is delight. The goal is... And here's something notable. You are entertaining yourself. That's key. You know why Pixar and Disney make those movies with funny adult stuff that only an adult would see. It's because they got to get you to take a kid to that movie, right?
Yeah.
So find a podcast that's going to meet your mom's needs, but also delights you. Okay.
All right.
So that's the point. Get your music squared away and have something that she might be really interested in.
Yeah.
That gives her, and here's the thing, I get that when how you've described your mother here is that, you know, she's sensitive. You've got to be careful. You're not going to offend her, right? Whatever. And so this is the easiest thing in the world to do is to expose her to something new that meets her standards, but is different than what she's expecting. That might be really fun for you, right? And you can take a hint, right? She likes murder in the British way. She likes Gilmore Girls or whatever. You know, find something that is also entertaining for you is going to be key there. And then dad's easy, so that's nice. Okay, so then what else do we have? We've got, there's lots of things you have to stay away from. You can do that. Just having a long playlist that is 10 hours worth of delightful introductions and fun music. Okay, she's 70 plus. So speaking of Captain Tennille, is there a playlist you could put together of music she has not heard since she was a teenager?
There you go. Interesting.
See, notice how I have flipped this whole thing from how are you going to survive to how do you make this so fun for your mom?
Right. Look at you.
It's because Mother's Day was recently, damn it.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going to save yourself by doing this.
That's a really good idea because you get her not even thinking about any sort of controversial topic. You get her thinking about, oh my God, when I first heard this song, it was at the sock hop where I met blah, blah, blah.
There's no person who doesn't want to share a funny memory or share something about their life. And I'm guessing mom doesn't have a lot of time where you are listening to her and taking her seriously if she's trying to tell you the world's ending all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So you are going to create a scenario where she gets to be, you know, clever or funny or walk down memory lane and you're listening because it's not totally triggering and annoying. But you got to create a mood. Why is there music in every movie? Because it's a mood creator.
Yeah. So, and even the absence of it in some films is a mood creator. Like the whole
point.
The point of it is when it's gone,
and it's
feel
usually a murder scene.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's rough.
So, guys, no music in your car for 10 hours is a murder scene.
Yeah,
don't do
there's reasons. Yeah, exactly.
Or irritating, scratchy radio. Like, don't do that.
No, plus it changes all the time. 5-6 hours, you're gonna run out of signal and then change
channels.
Exactly.
You're gonna be constantly. Most of your time is gonna be spent looking for another station.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's another piece to do. What did she cook you or make you or what snacks did you like? So obviously I could give Scott wheat thins and a spray can of cheese and get him in a mood.
Dorito salad. Let's do Dorito salads in the car.
Dorito salad. Yeah. And then again, my kids would say it's the stinky beef jerky that they buy because it makes me want to barf every time I eat it.
Yeah.
Anyway, but like what is something from your childhood that was your mom expressing love through food or her own thing, you know, maybe she really liked Twinkies and you knew she was hiding them. And so bring her a box of Twinkies. Mm-hmm. So this sounds like a Mother's Day trip. I get it. But what you're doing is you're trying to preempt and prevent, kind of what typically happens. You're braced for it. And so this is just, you know, adding a little delight and joy, at the front end. And maybe you could ask dad, if dad's happy-go-lucky, just say, dad, what, do you know what mom's favorite music was when she was a kid? Or you could ask him to participate in some way, or what was his favorite music? I'm telling you, you get old people to think about the old days, they will not talk about the end of times.
Oh, it was, Freddie Lord and the Big Band Experience in the 1940s. Like, whatever it is, you just got to find it.
Yeah, take 1942, that podcast we talked about, right? The year of 1942 and all the stuff
great.
That happened.
Yeah, I'd love that one.
There's so many things you can meet them where they're at. Here's the problem. When somebody is, I'm making a guess about what his mom is like, you know, I don't know. She is not one thing. That is her current iteration of the world is scary and I'm clamping down on the way I see it in order to feel safe. Right.
Right.
And so what you're reacting to is that you're rubbing to her clamping down. Right. But there was a day when she didn't have any opinions. There was a time when she was open to the newness of the world. Just want to open that a little bit. And you're just, here's the truth. You're just doing a fun psychological experiment. This will make it more fun for you rather than dreading.
So find a podcast called The Case for Atheism and turn it up to 10. No, that's a bad idea. Don't do that.
Maybe not that.
No,
maybe
I love this idea because what I'm gathering here, Wendy, tell me if I'm wrong, but it does seem like you're flipping the script a little. It's like we're all dreading this trip with mom, but now we're saying we are going to make mom, we're going to make this trip great for mom, and that will make it great for everyone.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And we genuinely want it to be great for her. We're not doing this as a fake out or a misdirect.
Right. Like you're not saying, okay, how can we build some sort of wall that prevents this from being a nightmare? It's like, all right, how can we make this fun? I love it.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, building a wall for someone, guess what it does? It makes them double down on their crazy.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
And right? Also probably so don't mention building a wall too.
Don't talk about walls. Yeah. So I'm glad you phrased it that way, Scott, because this is a helpful way for people to think about sort of child, especially adult parent-child relationships, is no matter what, you can be 100 and your 120-year-old mother will still be in the position of a parent and you will be the child. Age is irrelevant here. The hard thing is when you're an adult and your parents are wackadoodle and you're just like, what? It's because you still, on some level, need them to be the safe place a parent is supposed to be. And what this represents is that she's not, that she actually can't meet you where you are at. This is every kid's need, every kid's desire, meet me where I am at. And I'm asking you to flip that on its head from, you know, 30 plus years of your life to meet her where she's at. Mm-hmm. And that is actually what all humans need. It's just really difficult when it's a parent child, especially in the adult stage of things, because we are kind of still wounded from maybe how they didn't meet us where we were at as kids. And here we are still in that same arm wrestle of like, can you really see me and accept me? So when she does any of her stuff that's doubling down or religious or whatever, and you are just feeling like, I still don't accept you. I still don't actually see where you're coming from. That could be part of it. I mean, I don't know this for sure, but it's pretty universal. And then, so what happens is this is just sort of, instead of having that be the dynamic you're triggered by, you're just deciding, oh, I'm going to be the adult here.
Yeah.
And that's a flip. Most people don't do well doing that because we all still crave having a parent take care of us or care about what we like.
Right.
You know, right. So you really are flipping it. It's legit flipping the script.
Yeah. And it can turn into, I think, probably a real good time. Now, if you've got other little kids in there, you might have more of a contradiction, if that makes sense. Like you've got mom who's in her 70s, who her memories of good times or the 60s or whatever, you know, and you're kind of building the trip based on what you said. But if you had like some 5, 6, 7, 8 year old kids in there, you know, they may be like, put on whatever, something cool, Fortnite music. I don't know what they want now. You know, something grandma's gonna have no concept of. Like, she's just gonna be like, what, why are these kids, you know? But it sounds like they're not gonna have that problem. Like, these are adults helping adults, you know.
They just have to keep, and this may trigger a little bit of like, are you telling me I have to take care of my mom after I have had to take care of her emotions for, you know, right? So this could go real deep for someone, or it could be pretty surfacey. You're like, oh, I've literally, other than Mother's Day, thought, what does my mom need?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you meet that need, and you can see the magic happen. The other thing too is to have a couple of things in your pocket that are ongoing friendly. So for example, you take a comedian, if you study what a comedian does, they will reference back to something they said earlier to complete a full circle of a joke, right?
Yeah, sure.
And that is so funny. You're all on the inside. You all get it. Like, there is a reason that gets sometimes most of the laughs, right? Mm-hmm. And so think of it in terms of what along the way do we keep that sustains the sort of, I don't know. So I'll give you an example, and this works especially well with kids, but it might be funny to do with your mom. And that is, and my kids adore this. It is what we do every time we're on a road trip. And it lasts the whole 21 hours. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And that is to play the license plate game.
Oh gosh. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Wow. Where is this from? So little kids, you would maybe get a map out and have them color the state, you know, but we did this road trip, I don't know, a year ago or something. And we found a Puerto Rican license plate, people. I was so excited. We found Hawaii. Like, those are miracles, right?
Yeah.
And we got all 50 states by the end, and you would have thought we won the flipping lottery. And it's because it took 20 hours to do. And everyone would find one, and we'd add it to the list. And then we drove past, what is that called? Where all the president heads are.
What's cool about that, what's great about that, is that even if you are against the idea of doing that, like, you're like, oh my God, this is going to be so horrible, I'm not going to do it. As soon as you do one, you're like, well, crap, no, I got to keep doing it. All right. Oh, there's a, look, there's an Ohio. Oh, look, there's a Vermont. Yep. There's a Connecticut.
Yep. Like, most hardened teenager will succumb. I promise you. And so awesome. One of you just pulls up your little notes and keeps track of the things. And and we literally started stopping at places just to go around the parking lot to get more name or more states.
Really?
Yeah, it was very funny.
That's great. That's great. And they loved it. Down the aisles.
Yeah. Yeah. And then a book on tape that if you know, a podcast or get an Audible or something, that might be some kind of fun British short story, something, you know, right?
That thinking helps about that, because I remember doing a very long trip to Vegas with some friends of ours in the 90s. And they were a couple, and we took turns driving. Somehow I got the overnight shift, which was horrendous because everybody was sleeping but me. But while one of them was awake, he wanted to listen to the Dark Tower audiobook, which was read by Stephen King. And number one, it meant we couldn't have any conversation because you'd have
book.
To,
right?
You'd have to like wave to get them to pause it and all that stuff. We were right in the middle. We didn't start at the beginning of the Dark Tower. So it was like right in the middle, book three or something.
Oh my God.
Which is where he happened to be. Man. This was the worst thing ever. And so, yeah, maybe not an audiobook or a podcast where you miss something if you have a conversation during it.
Or even more importantly, never get any audiobooks from Stephen King. He's an amazing author, but the ones he reads himself are terrible when he reads them.
They are terrible.
His voice just is not good for this. There's that there. I'm grateful that the Dark Tower exists in like a whole other recording form. But whoever bought the version that had Stephen King talking, you made a terrible error. It's a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so bad. Anyway.
Yeah. So but again, but
maybe
British
not
accent.
An audiobook.
British accents.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's the magic. That's the magic potion. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe there's that. So here you've got a game to play that kind of is ongoing. You have something interesting you're all listening to. You've got music that can bring you back. You can play, like if you were a teenager in the 90s and your mom was just like, "Your music." And you're like, you know, you could say, "Okay, mom, do you remember this song?" And you can play some of your old stuff, right? Like, yeah. Don't think of it as trying to entertain. Well, okay. It is about entertainment a lot less than it is about survival. And I think that's what naturally happens to us. We like kind of hunker down, like, oh, we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And we're already expecting it to be terrible.
You're going into it expecting dread. Yeah. Or expecting, yeah.
And then you'll get exactly what you expect. Right. You might be disappointed. I think there's another thing that happens, and maybe if this is the premise to go with, this might be helpful, is just if you're only getting one side of a parent, it's because the environment might not be introducing other sides to them. That's true for you. So if you're having a flashback because you're in a car trapped with your parents while they're driving, well, maybe there's some history there, right? But also, maybe there's some history for them of being like, oh my gosh, these kids and their complaints and they have to pee every 2 minutes. And,
right.
You know? So yeah. This might just be a nice way to break whatever was the history, or maybe you never did it and this is the first time, or you always wanted to, or, you know, it's a chance to build some relationship now. And one, unfortunately, adults who watch Fox News too much or just spend too much time thinking about the things that make them feel safe and like their world kind of gets a little bit smaller. They're trying to share their world with you when they're telling you the world is terrible and you should, you know, ban books or something, you know, like they're going to their place of connection. That sucks, right? That mm-hmm. sucks. But guess what? You probably are too in your own version of this. And so we're going to just throw the dude the opposite. This is the opposite. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah. I want to share your world. And what happens when you do that with people? And this happens in political fights all the way down to a family fight. When you step in their shoes or you get curious about their perspective, they soften. The only reason anyone has to double down is because someone is attacking or they have to, in defensiveness, we act differently.
Yeah, they feel like they have to defend themselves. Yeah.
Totally. And it destroys relationships. It really does. And so you're just kind of bring the different energy. If that requires taking a little gummy on the way, okay.
as long as you're not the one driving. Yes,
yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, don't be driving. It doesn't sound like they are. It sounds like dad's the driver. Mom's the stare out the window person. Yeah. So maybe a little travel connect four, or what's the battleship? I have one of those. Do you need it? I'll send it to you.
What's the battleship?
You do need to be able to like have a little thing in front of you for pegs to go into for battleship. But
there's a travel one. But you're in the back seat.
Really?
Okay. I'm talking about the back seat people, right?
Yeah. Gotcha.
Like have fidget spinners, have stuff in your hands, do your knitting, like. Create. So, and if you want to read and like, then that's just maybe the calm music playlist, right? Just prep for breaking this up with different things. Right. And And then there's some really great gas stations. I don't know where they're traveling, but if they're anywhere near
the
Midwest,
really cool. Yeah. Especially
gas stations are crazy.
And they're so weird. They're like I was telling Brian about the one in Scipio. It's like between Beaver and Cedar City or something. I don't remember where exactly. But this thing was like half motel, half gas station. All of it was weird. I felt like I was in a strange movie or something, like a Tarantino movie was being directed in
weird.
There. It was really weird. And I love it. I love that kind of stuff. I love weird roadside attractions. Maybe plan a couple of those so, you know, mom can get out and walk a little bit. Stuff that maybe she'd be interested in. I don't know. Like, yeah, plan ahead. Instead of just dreading it and getting in the car going, oh my gosh, we haven't even left yet. And I already want to die. Like,
right.
This is a real brain flip. If you can do it. Good luck. Having just done one.
Maybe just one of the things that gives you 1 hour.
Yeah.
1 hour less of your 10. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, see if you can enjoy yourself a little
bit. I will say this. The fastest road trip I've ever been on was when we took Misha with us in 2019 to Vegas. And the reason that was fast is because Misha always wants to have a conversation about something.
Yeah.
She's just ready to talk. And that was the fastest thing. So if you come at this with like stuff to talk about and you've really aimed it at her interests and all of that stuff, the time is going to fly. Yeah. But if you're all dreading it and you're trying to tune in the FM station that just went out because the mountain's in the way, what a nightmare.
Or even if you just put in your own headphones and ignore everyone, you know, you really are getting into the teenage role.
Yep.
Isolate
there's
yourself.
There's some out. Of that. There's some of that that's okay, right? But you got to give a little. Here, let me say this about Misha. Why that goes fast is it's not Misha talking about herself. No. It's Misha asking you a million questions about you. And most of us don't get to talk about ourselves much. And if we do, we feel weird.
Yeah.
But she has a way of disarming you to find out information.
She's very good at that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so something that worked for a couple of my trips to road trips to Vegas with the trivia guys was that we had trivia questions that we asked each other over the course of the 8 hours or 10 hours, right? We had like games or trivia, lists of trivia questions that one person would ask, the other two would work on them. Then another person would have their list when they weren't driving, et cetera. And you could easily do something. You could easily find trivia questions that are maybe targeted towards their formative years, right? Stuff from the 1960s or 70s or whatever that are like, oh yeah, what famous person said in 1974, blah, 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 blah.
And it would
open up conversation, get them to you know, think about something else. And
yeah, a list of sort of, yeah, I love that. Anything that's going to, and you can say, like, there's landmines, right? You can find
sure,
them.
Sure, of course. And you know you what questions not them. To ask. Yeah,
exactly, exactly. And you can even just set a gentle boundary if someone wants to go off the rails and just like, okay, no, go back to this question and just pull it back.
Right, yes, exactly.
Because sometimes the talking points that they have immersed themselves in at this stage of life are just on repeat, right? And so tapping into like old memory and music's the fastest way to do that is just you're going to get a softer, different version. That's why every kid dreams that their parents will tell them like something real when they were younger, because they don't have a sense of them being real, right? They were your caregivers. They were grumpy. Yeah. Why is dad always grumpy at Disneyland? You know, because he's hot and he's spending $1 billion and it's not even fun. And it's not till you're an adult do you get it. But that you can find, you know, people love to go back there. There's some interesting work with retirement centers and palliative care. And it's this great combo of like recreating the decor and the feel and the music of the era when they were younger. And their brains do so well, especially Alzheimer care. And then there's also things of like, you know, stop straining to try to be in this moment. There's like because they can remember a lot of the older things. And then there's also this one where there's a lot of greenery and a daycare is in the same place. So the kids are hanging out with the old people and the old people are hanging out with kids and there's dogs and pets and birds. It's like chaos, but like, it's how we're meant to live. We're not meant to live isolated alone. And so I think of, you know, we're not going to have your 70 plus year old mom with us forever or your dad. You know, this may, I don't want to get all pressure-y on it, but like this may be your one and only road trip as this stage of life. And that's fine. And it may be great. You never have to do it again. I don't know. But like there's a chance to sort of set a setting and be a little more intentional or thoughtful that, you know, it'll pay dividends.
Yeah, say that. I agree. Well, we wish you luck on your trip. And I hope this, I don't know, this is a good lesson about all sorts of like flipping the script ideas.
You
know?
Oh, for sure.
Just change the dynamic, like almost forcefully, not in a negative way, but like, I'm going to change how this is. How am I going to do it? Whole bunch of positive stuff. You know, I don't know.
Well, and like Scott, you said Scipio. It is definitely Scipio, right?
It's pronounced Scipio, but it's got a C and annoys me. So I say Scipio.
Scipio.
Yeah.
And Scipio. But this is a great example of like, you can hear someone else's accent, but you cannot hear your own. Like Brian had to tell me that I mispronounced the word wait.
Yeah.
Right? You can't hear your own. And I think that is relevant to everything. Yeah. We cannot see our own stuff here.
Right.
But if we try to see someone else's stuff and then react with kindness or intentional curiosity or, you know, trying to create delight, you'd be shocked at how that person maybe isn't always doing this thing that you're prepared for them to be annoyed. And I guarantee they're probably worried, like, oh, I can't say one thing with these kids these days.
Yeah.
They've got their own version of your accent's annoying. So, you know, we're just going to all be humble about it. We don't pronounce the city of Scipio the same.
No. Yeah. And it's okay. You know, it's okay that Scipio and Scipio live in the same universe.
But we can't agree that any British Isle accent deserves to be heard.
Oh, agreed.
For sure.
Agreed.
No question.
Hard agree.
Especially Fern, who's my current favorite. Fern from Taskmaster. Fern.
Oh, yeah. What was the last? You just said this.
Not
on
Baker. Fern
Gully. Fern Gully. Baker? No, I don't know.
Fern Gully. Yeah, that's it.
It's Fern Gully.
Let me see if it's still in my search history.
Fern no, something.
Not. Oh, Brady. There we go.
Fern Brady. Well, such a great
Fern
name.
Brady.
It's amazing.
So great. Yeah.
Anyway, well, this is great. We wish you the best. And let us know how things go on your trip. We'd love to get a little feedback on the back end of this thing. And
for sure,
Wendy is always,
please tell us.
Always a pleasure having you here. Realsteps.org, everybody. Go check it out. When things open, you'll know. And you can read all about it in the meantime. Anything else you want to mention before you go?
No. Happy May.
Happy
we can talk
May.
About if anyone wants to write in about a bad parenting moment, I had a really good one the other day.
Really?
That I am happy to share. So y'all can feel good about yourselves.
Why
parents.
Don't we should do that. Let's make that our.
So send me anyone got a I forgot or I failed to do a thing or I did the wrong thing kind of. Because the question I get a lot with parents is like, have I ruined my child forever? And so we could talk through that. Because
yeah, I would love that.
I might have ruined my child forever. We'll
oh,
see.
Fantastic. I never did get those. I never got those tennis pictures you tried to send. There was something wrong that day with your text.
Oh, yeah.
That
it's
was
picture
a bummer.
Pete looks just like.
He looks like Bjorn Borg. Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. He's been wearing headbands around his long, blonde, curly hair just the way Bjorn Borg does. And he's like, I like it.
I'm yeah.
Like, okay.
It's a very 81, 82 kind of vibe.
I visualize it. Yeah. Even though perfect. I'm not seeing it, I can completely
it's
visualize it.
It's pretty great.
It.
And then the other day, some lady's like, you know what I wish would come back? Those halter tops from the 70s. And then swear, 2 seconds later, I saw a bunch of April's Instagram and some others, and everyone's wearing a halter top at these concerts. I'm like, I think they're back.
I think they're back.
So I'm thinking 78, 82 range is in.
Yeah,
guys.
Which is weird because that's a time I think of not fondly. I go, ugh, what a gross time for fashion. Those particular years. But
let's do it. Heart your
anyway,
in the middle, baby.
Have a fantastic week. We'll see you next Thursday. Bye now.
Bye.
See ya.
All right.
Cool.
Brian?
Yes, sir.
Look what we've done. We've done a show. We brought it back.
We knew we could do it. It was like falling off a log.
Yeah.
Riding a bike. Falling off a log bike.
What I completely forgot to mention earlier, and I can't believe it's already Thursday. This is all feeling very weird to me. But you've got a Coverville today, right?
I do. It's so funny that you remember that. Mm. Yes. Today, the music of Paul Weller, who's going to turn 65 next week. You know him from bands like The Jam and Style Council. And yes, they did put out that album called The Bitterest Pill, or the song called The Bitterest Pill.
Sure.
It's not jagged.
No,
it's definitely jagged. Not jagged.
Bitter. Definitely bitter. Yeah.
Or little. It's not jagged or little. So it's The Jam, The Style Council, and Paul Weller solo stuff. All his great covers and covers of those bands and him solo. Coming up today, 1 p.m. Mountain Time, twitch.tv/Coverville. I am not doing... I'm playing Marvel Snap, but I'm not playing against people while the stream is going on because I cannot concentrate on both. And like between songs where I have to back announce, it's like, I don't know, put Beast right there. Oh, all my stuff just came back. Oh, put him there or this there.
Sure.
No, can't do it. So if you want to play against me, we'll do a match after the show, but I can't do it during the during the show anymore.
Look, you know your own limits when it comes to
I know
to
my
that.
Own limits. Yeah,
nothing
exactly.
Wrong with that.
Made some really dumb moves during some games with Red Fraggle. That's like, oh god, of course.
Yeah. Well, we can't have that.
No.
Yeah, so that's today, 1 p.m. Mountain.
That's right. That is correct.
Coverville over there on Twitch, twitch.tv/Coverville. As I mentioned, Core tonight. We'll have all the other stuff, Film Sack this weekend. Brian and I, Dunaway and I, are going to stick around after Film Sack Saturday and do our Play Retro we missed this week. So you'll still get a Play Retro before the week's out. And what else? Skim tomorrow. Just tons of content. We're back in the swing. Mm-hmm. Oh, yep. Huge Couch thanks party. To I forgot to mention this. Giant, huge thanks to everybody for helping us get through the Kickstarter for Dungeon Murder. We're done. It ended yesterday at 5. And we hit our goal. In fact, we 400%ed our goal, which means lots of extra stuff unlocked. And that includes the final level, which had a big fat challenge coin in there, which I'm really excited about. So now the real work begins, fulfilling that damn thing. So
right.
Keep your eyes on the prize. We'll let you know when it happens. And if you're like, oh, I forgot I meant to do it, I didn't do it. Don't worry. When this is all fulfilled and done, we'll have some in the store. That's how it always works. Once we get everybody taken care of who was here in the beginning, we'll put some out there and you can get them that way. So anyway, thanks everybody for your help. DungeonMurder.com for details. That's it. Patreon.com/TMS to support our show. Means a lot to us. Brian mentioned couch parties just then. We will have a new couch party tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. This is for patrons only. I do not know what we're watching yet. Or did we decide?
I don't either.
We didn't decide.
We could do the second part of the Quantum Leap Jimmy thing.
Oh, we could. That could be fun. Let's do that.
With the evil leaper while everything's still fresh in our minds.
Yeah, I think we should. We're going to go right from Jimmy to the evil leaper. That's tomorrow, 10 a.m. Couch party. Check it out. You know what to do if you're a patron. It's in our Discord and so on. Speaking of which, join us on Discord at frogpants.com/Discord and partake in all the fun. Shout out to Tanner Goodman, who gave out 2 copies of Tears of the Kingdom, 1 physical, 1 digital.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Did it just through Super our little nice. Giveaways thing. We have a whole giveaways channel. I put stuff up there all the time as well. You should be over there if you want to win cool stuff and check it out. All right. That's going to do it for today's show. I think I covered everything. Everything but a song. So you've got one.
Yeah, you covered everything but the cover. Jim from Northern California wrote in and said, hey, Scott and Brian, on May 21st, 2023, my son Alex will be graduating from California State University in Chico with a bachelor's degree in nutrition and food science. I'm so proud of him. He is the first on my side of our family to get a college degree. Now he has to go out into the world and start adulting. I'm confident he'll do great in whatever path he chooses in life. To help him along, I set up a disposable email to help him find a job. If anyone in the Tadpole community knows of any jobs in Northern California in food industry-related quality control, preferably in wine or beer industry, please email alexreallyneedsajob@gmail.com. That's alexreallyneedsajob@gmail.com.
That's
or
great.
Just send him a congratulations email. He'll be very surprised. Thank you. Signed, Jim. Scott, can I get a Veronica sausage?
Oh, of course you can. Here's one. Where is she? This is a sausage. No, that's not it. Hold on.
Sausage.
Yeah. Still longer every time.
Longer every time.
Yep. Every time. What's going on
that
there.
Tape is just getting stretched. Yep. So Jim requested covers by The Chats, Australian punk band The Chats. Here's the thing. They have 2 covers. One is of Metallica. The other one is AC/DC. And neither of them really I felt like were good enough for the show. Sorry, Jim. But we're going to still go with another artist from Australia who sometimes is very punk. On this cover, she's a little bit less punk, but I still love her voice. Courtney Barnett contributed this song to a tribute to the Grateful Dead called Day of the Dead from 2016. It feels like it may not be congratulatory, but at least it's not a song like, oh, I'm sorry she left me and blah, 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 for congratulations on graduating. Here is Courtney Barnett and New Speedway Boogie.
All right. That'll do it for us. We'll see you guys Monday for TMS and all that other stuff I mentioned. Have a great weekend. We'll see you then.
If you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Ferguson Herman.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.